Good morning, Frank.
Tracy, here's a topic that I'm not very interested in talking about, but unfortunately we do hear about it quite often. It's important to discuss it from time to time. And I just feel almost uncomfortable even announcing the name of it. Irritable bowel syndrome. There's a turn off and a half on the radio. However, stay with me on this because it's a very important conversation. You want to make some points about it, Tracy?
Yeah, you just made a really good point, Frank, is so many people are suffering unnecessarily with irritable bowel syndrome because they don't want to talk about it, because it's not a nice thing to talk about bloating and burping and flatulence in company. So many people just put up with it for that very reason.
So someone who is doing a lot of burping and plenty of, you know, and all of that, are they most likely suffering from it, or are they just, you know, I know people who burp and people who blow out, and I tend to think that they're just rude, but maybe they're ill.
They could very well be. I think that the trick really is if there is a change in your regular pattern of digestive behaviour, should I say, then you could very well be suffering with irritable bowel syndrome. And actually, people that are windy people could be suffering long-term with irritable bowel and just not really terribly aware of it.
So should you be, obviously you should be checked for it.
Yeah, it's a good idea in the first instance to go and see your GP and just talk through your symptoms, how long they've been going on for. He'll ask you some questions. Just make sure that he's not concerned about any aspect of what's going on. So things like, you know, blood in the stools and weight loss are things that are not routinely associated with irritable bowel and would require some further investigations. But beyond that, the GP is the person that can really diagnose if you've got irritable bowel syndrome.
You sometimes hear people say, oh, he said it was, or she said it was irritable bowel syndrome, and they actually missed something much more serious. Is that possible?
Well, it is technically possible because, you know, the gut has only got a finite number of ways of showing you that it's not happy, which is going to be constipation, diarrhea, variable motions, bloating and distension. And equally, you know, things like inflammatory bowel disease.
Hold on. There's one I didn't recognise there. What is distension?
Distension is just a swollen belly.
Oh, like a bloated
distended
feeling.
Distended, yes.
What is the word? What is the word again?
Distension.
Distension. New word. Right? You're not going to write it down. I'm going to use it. I'll
use it three times the next week.
Weave it into conversation. So sometime when I see someone that's looking just a bit worse for wear. But in fairness, this is a serious issue, and some people are incredibly uncomfortable and feeling unwell as a result of it.
Yeah, very much so. And IBS can impact on the quality of your life. You know, I have patients who are worried about, will never go on holiday, don't like going out for lunch, worried about going around people's houses because of, you know, using their bathroom, people knowing they're in the bathroom all the time, people who worry about starting a new job and whether their work colleagues will notice that they go to the bathroom frequently. You know, it can be incredibly debilitating.
And 12% of the UK population are suffering with it.
Yeah, well, I think it could actually be higher, you know, because so many people just don't like talking about it. I think it could be as up to one in five.
Yes, but, you know, 12% have maybe had the courage to come forward and say, I've got a problem.
Exactly.
And as you've suggested, it could be much higher. Now, we don't want to be diagnosed with something like that. We don't want to be going around saying to ourselves, I've got what is often referred to as IBS.
No, I mean, and the thing that's important to understand about IBS is it's just a label, and it's a label for a collection of symptoms: constipation, diarrhea, bloating, burping, flatulence. That in of itself is you know, not terribly helpful. What is more helpful is understanding that it is IBS, it's nothing more sinister, and also then it's a very good idea to try and make some lifestyle changes, some dietary changes, and see if that makes, you know, a positive change to the way your gut's behaving.
Obviously, the question I'm leading up to, how do we avoid it?
How do you avoid it? Well, irritable bowel syndrome is often caused by diets that are high in refined carbohydrates. So our standard UK diet, unfortunately, is very carbohydrate rich. And by carbohydrates, I mean things like lots of bread, lots of pasta. We're also ingesting a lot of milk now. We're very much a coffee society. So a lot of people are having lots of lattes and cappuccinos. And many people are lactose intolerant and underaware as well. So our diet is part of it. Our lifestyle and stress levels are also a big part of it. Stress, we know, has very, very strong impacts on the gut. It can change actually the makeup of our gut flora because it changes the pH of the gut. It also impacts on the motility of the gut as well. And also, when you're very stressed, it shuts down digestion. So if you're eating when you're on the run, which many of us do, you can eat a sandwich and it sits in your stomach for too long and basically starts to ferment.
Gee. Why, you know how to put somebody off their lunch, I'll tell
you. I'm so sorry, Frank. No, I'm so sorry.
It is an awareness month for it, and I'm more than happy indeed to highlight the issue because it is. I'm having a bit of a smile about it, but there are people who are incredibly uncomfortable as a result of it. The being aware of your diet is hugely important, and I suppose putting some thought into what we're eating and getting exercise and all of that will add into. But you see ads on the TV for special little yogurts that are apparently the cure for all ails of the gut. Is that just marketing?
Oh, some of it is. Those little yogurt-y type pot drinks that you get there, the science is a good idea. This idea of taking probiotics can be very helpful in some cases of irritable bowel syndrome. However, I have to say that a lot of those drinks are relatively low in beneficial flora and very high in sugar or very high in sweeteners. And both those things make me very uncomfortable from a point of view of, you know, helping the gut. Probiotics can be helpful for some people with irritable bowel when they don't have enough of the beneficial flora. But for some people, they can actually have the opposite problem where they've got an overgrowth of bacteria in the wrong place in the gut. Particularly what I'm describing here is a condition called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is exactly that. It's a gross overgrowth of bacteria in the upper gut as opposed to the large colon, which is where the bacteria is meant to reside.
Two final questions for you, Tracy. Based on the way I was brought up, I think one of the items I'm about to mention has disappeared off the market completely, but we were reared on it anytime we had a bad stomach. Milk of magnesia, is that gone?
No, milk of magnesia is still around. Milk of magnesia is magnesium, and magnesium helps the bowel to relax.
Okay,
so many people that are constipated have got a gut that is contracted that can't let go. So magnesium helps with that.
Okay, so it helps you deliver. And the other thing was, sat in our medicine cupboard, I think there were only two bottles in the medicine cupboard, Andrew's liver salts. Is that any good for you?
Yeah, well, that can help with dyspepsia, so a bit of indigestion and heartburn following a heavy meal. So what you've described there is two kind of palliative treatments, if you like, for the symptoms of IBS. And they're useful on rare occasions. When you get you've had the odd heavy dinner and your tummy's a bit uncomfortable, then it's very worth looking into taking something like that. But if those kind of symptoms persist on the long term, then there may be an irritable bowel syndrome going on, and it may be that you need to take some other, some other actions to solve the problem.
Tracy, you've made it a much more interesting topic than I expected it to be, and I really appreciate your time this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Thank you. Tracy Randell, nutritional therapist, talking about irritable bowel syndrome on this week that is an awareness week for it. It's an awareness month indeed. And I hesitate to say, if you've got a irritable bowel syndrome story to tell us, do give us a ring. I always say at the end of a conversation with an expert or whatever, if you've got a something to tell us, feel free. I just don't feel comfortable. There's two things I don't like talking about. One is your bowels and the other is dog fouling. Those two things are the two topics that I try to steer clear of on the Frank Mitchell phone-in, but they're both relevant and they're both covered.